completely do that, we should do our own telethon where instead of money, people just give us meat products, or they just give us his luggage or something. It's 1 minute and 38 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of March, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, boys and girls, drunks and deviants, assembled Portland huddled masses. This is the Rick Emerson Show, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of what Mark Baumgartner at the Willamette Week calls inaccurately, the Johnson. Proud part of the CBS Radio family. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. And why wouldn't you? Rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Thank you for coming by and welcome to Day 12. Coming up later on today, Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles is going to be here. And we always have to lie to the CNN booker because if you want to talk to Jim about something that's not, like, every day they send us this prep sheet. And it's like, these are the three things that Jim is talking about today. And the odds are about 7 in 10 it's something you don't give a rat's ass about. And so we have to lie. And so I believe today, wait, Sarah, we're joined here by Sarah X. Dillon. Okay, A, what have we told them we want to talk to Jim about today?
The air pollution.
Why would I, where, in general or in Los Angeles?
California has the second dirtiest air in the nation.
Why would I possibly care?
Primarily the San Fernando Valley.
In what alternate universe do I care what people in Los Angeles are breathing into their lungs? I don't.
Well, you know, I heard this morning on the news that Oregon has number 3.
Yeah, but see, here's why I'm suspicious of that, because the CNN prep sheet, they say that Jim Roop is going to be talking about the air in Los Angeles because they claim that they have the highest airborne, you know, the highest cancer rate caused by the air pollution. And yet, if you look about 3 inches up on that page, Gary Baumgartner in New York City, talking about the same story, same stats, same facts, same number one cancer rate statistic, except it's a different city on the other, in the other side of the country. So clearly not even CNN knows what they're talking about. So we have claimed that we're going to talk to Jim about cancer in Los Angeles. We're not. We're going to talk about Phil Spector and his huge hair and the fact that his trial has been postponed. Again, somebody went crazy somewhere. It's been postponed. So we'll do that. Promise not to tell. We've also got Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine coming up later on today. We're going to tell you how you can get out of a traffic ticket through the Rick Emerson Show. I hold here. I am now speaking to you through the answer, the cure to your traffic problems. Right here. My voice, such is the power of this email that it's actually stopping my voice from reaching the microphone with anything approaching efficiency. Right here, I hold in my hands the cure to your traffic woes. We'll talk about that later on. Now, I made this terrible mistake a couple days ago where on MySpace I had this brilliant idea that I wanted to harness, I wanted other people to do my work for me. And I didn't want to come up with a top five. And so I put out this thing on MySpace, and I don't think you can see it if you're not a MySpace member. I think it is one of those things you have to, because I know that when I first tried to go see pictures on MySpace, it's like that's why I joined, I think, eventually, because there was some chick with big cans, and I wanted to see the picture, and, like, you couldn't. Like, you had the, you know, you must be a logged-in registered member to do it. Please enter your social security number, or whatever it is, and I had to enter the whole thing. So I don't think you can see this unless you're actually on MySpace. But I put up this bulletin attempting to assemble the top five blandest rock acts of all time. And the response was so much, it was so overwhelming. I mean, it's like trying to drink out of a fire hose. There's no way on God's green earth I'm going to be able to assemble all of that into anything remotely resembling a cohesive top five.
Top ten?
No, I think I whittled it down to 15. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Later on today, what we're going to do is we're just going to sort of go through a random smattering of the most frequently mentioned acts that people submitted on the MySpace, you know, the bulletin board I had, the blandest musical acts of all time. And I think in the future, I have to find some way to sort of focus it, to narrow it in. It was just to be proved, the amount of responses, again, I'm not complaining about it. People are very into it. A lot of people, I don't know, I got like, how many friends do you have on your MySpace?
I don't know, like over 300.
Yeah, that's, and I'm like 220, 250. And so it's like every, you know, if even half of those people respond, it's way too much to deal with. So later today, we will just sort of take a quick tour through the most frequently mentioned acts on this MySpace, the poll that I put out, blandest musical acts, blandest rock acts. And then in the future, we'll have to find a way to focus it down. We'll get to that later on. It's 503-733-2970. Sarah X. Dillon joining us at the board today, keeping the show. You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today.
Thank
you. You're looking wide awake. You look like you got many, many hours of uninterrupted sleep last night, followed up by a refreshing nap this morning.
Ugh, I'm so tired. And it wasn't even because I went out, because I was in bed at a reasonable hour.
Good time.
I just could not nap today.
Now, this is because I came in this morning and you had that kind of wide-eyed, sort of crazy look. Like the look that Cambodian woman got in her eyes right before she went after her husband's penis with the scissors last week. That's just sort of a, hi, Sarah, how are you? I'm fine. And it's just sort of like huge, you know, just like huge whites of the eyes, and like your face is just sort of like you got kind of a manic sort of Joker grin on your face.
I know. I finally snapped talking to my sister today. It's only been a week and a half with the two jobs, and I'm already crazy.
Because you're getting up at 4 a.m., right?
Yeah, I'm basically working en route to work or, you know, changing clothes to go to work between 4 a.m. and 4 p.m.
That's like a solid 12 hours.
Yeah, solid 12 hours.
At least this job doesn't require you to point at things.
it's full-on media saturation. Tim Riley is at the City News Desk preparing to follow stories for your edification today.
The careless discardation of a cigarette sets a cruise ship on fire.
Fantastic.
Off with the head of the infidel, cries the Muslim cleric as an Afghan man wants to switch to Christianity. Jessica Alba grows wary of being a sex kitten. A New York senator allegedly throws coffee in the face of and pulls the hair of a lonely office girl.
Excellent. Oh, fantastic. I did not bicycle, by the way.
I did.
I drove in today. I drove in today because I got this whole problem where I'm, like, when I agree to all of these meetings in the afternoon, I forget that I'm either on foot or that I got to take the bus or that I got a bicycle. I'm scheduling all these meetings as though I'm still a guy with a car. And I'm not the guy with the car. No one in this building is the guy with the car. Because I think the cheapest anybody's been able to find parking, and that's like 3.5 miles away, is $150 a month. And in no universe am I going to be paying $1,700 a year for parking. It's not going to happen. I don't care that much. And so I got to start scheduling all my appointments further apart. But for today, though, I was looking up, you know, I'm looking at my book, and it's like, you know, 3:15, 3:25, 3:45, 3:15. It's like every 9 minutes I got to be somewhere else. And so I drove in today, and I'd actually gone so far as to go to REI and to buy this, because I got this whole thing where I pack my clothing. And no matter how carefully I iron my clothes, by the time I get here, you pull them out of the bike bag, and it's just a wrinkle fest. I mean, it looks like clothing made out of B. Arthur. It's just one big fold and crease after another. So I bought this thing where you iron the shirt, you put it inside, you seal it up, and it's like a travel sort of a thing for your button down, and it supposedly keeps your shirts, you know, so they look presentable. Because otherwise, I just look like some homeless guy that they hired. I look like some guy from the William Temple house that they recruited to run the station. So I just barely got that taken care of. So I got it's a whole thing, and I got to refurbish my wardrobe anyway, because all I got. Everything I own.
We need to go shopping again.
Well, it's like one Joey Ramone knockoff after another. That's all it is. I mean, everything I own is just jeans and a black T-shirt with a white lettering of some DIY band logo on it. That's all. I got like three shirts that don't have a pentagram on them, and that's it. And pretty soon they're going to notice that I'm just wearing the same three things. I'm going to be like that poor kid in your social studies class in 10th grade. Gets the one set of clothing for Christmas, wears it every day until the armpits give out.
He dresses like Dr. Johnny Fever. Say his fellow managers.
Totally. And it's going to be on one of those internal responses.
We've been happy with the performance of Johnson 970, but Rick's personal appearance in the office leaves something to be desired. Perhaps HR can speak with him about this.
And that's what's going to show up in my memo. And I tried to go shopping this weekend. I tried to do it myself. Like I had some free time and I was downtown anyway, so I thought I'd hit the Gap. And it doesn't help that.
Oh, you didn't just say I thought I'd hit the Gap.
I thought I'd hit the Gap.
Oh,
yeah,
he did. So white.
I thought I'd swing by. It's so worn into my brain that Sarah's the only one that can pick up my clothing that I felt like I was committing adultery. Like I'm totally like sneaking around. Like I got my hat all pulled low. Like don't tell her I was here. And I'm overlooking at the. And I don't know when shirts became so goddamn expensive. Since when do shirts cost $48? I'm not made of money, you know. I thought the point of the Gap is you could get like a whole wardrobe for like $9. Isn't that the whole selling point of that place?
Back in 1986, perhaps.
It didn't help, by the way, that when I walked into the Gap, I walked right into somebody from Intercom. I don't even know if I should say who it is. They didn't know. I don't think they saw me, though.
It doesn't matter. They won't be there tomorrow.
You get the city desk. Here's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting.
No mind. A fire apparently started by a cigarette raced through cabins on a cruise ship in the Caribbean today, killing one American and injuring 12 others.
Is that why I have this CNN cut entitled Cruise?
Yeah, and this is Judy Benson, a spokesperson for Princess Cruise Lines. We better put a positive spin on this or else.
Hold on. I'm trying to adjust my...
Is that a dolphin?
I don't know if this sound is carrying over here. That's
the sound of the Princess Cruise Line passengers.
I
know that. That was uncalled for.
Zing. Hold on, I got to adjust my microphone. Hold on.
All right. I don't know my off.
I can't tell if that's in my headphones or if I'm
it's
in the studio.
It's just in your brain.
My off button doesn't function properly yet.
There's like, listen, I got to.
Oh, you have an off button?
Yeah, that don't feel bad. It's just decorative at this point. The off button is like that. It's like the end and home buttons on your computer. They don't actually do anything. You know, like Microsoft, any typical PC keyboard has got a bunch of those buttons, like, you know, that have, like, pause, break. Have you taken a good long look at your PC keyboard recently? There's a whole bunch of functions, haven't done anything since 1984, and yet they just continue to, they're just there. Like, for no readily discernible reason. And that's kind of how these buttons are. Don't worry about it. All right, so these are not Tom Cruise cuts.
No. I know it does say cruise ship fire, but Tom
All
Cruise
right.
is not, at least we don't know
All right,
yet.
So am I playing Cruise 01 here?
Yeah, this is a spokesperson for Princess Cruise Lines named Julie.
All right, Julie.
Unfortunately, we can
really
confirm
Julie?
That there has been one passenger fatality and... two passengers with significant smoke inhalation injuries and 9 other passengers with complications resulting from smoke inhalation.
Well, you know, that's got to be an ironic death, though, that you're there in the middle of your bed surrounded by 500 trillion cubic miles of water. And you see, as you're burning to death, I bet there's some small part of your brain that says, well, this is ironic. I thought I'd go out this way. Fire set in the middle of the ocean.
Yep.
All right. Excellent.
So the passengers and crews were mustard. They weren't mustard. They were mustard.
Were they taken off the boat with relish?
With that Colonel Mustard. To emergency stations, but were not evacuated from the ship, so they didn't leave the passengers and just take off.
All right.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
The ship was at sea at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about 2 hours outside
that.
Of Montego Bay. We mustered the passengers out in their emergency stations, as is our standard practice.
I don't even know if there's a joke with mustard our passengers. It just sounds funny.
Did it with relish.
And I quit. And as soon as she said Montego Bay, I just started hearing Mike Love singing Kokomo in my head anyway. So I just quit listening at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. Don't go on a cruise ship. Cruise ships, I mean, look, I'm sure that they're very popular. And I'm sure that if any cruise ships advertise on this station, you're getting fantastic return on your dollar. And I thank you for... We're putting your sponsorship money here. It's not a thing that I've... Like, everybody... Cruise ship... One of the things... Everybody I know has done it but me. Like, I'm the only guy I know that's never gone and said... Because it just seems... Like, it just seems uninteresting. Like, I don't understand exactly what the point of it is.
You play a shuffleboard and sit in a lawn chair.
I can do that at the VFW. You know what I mean? There's no point. It seems like if you're going somewhere... I guess I'm a point A to point B kind of a guy. I'm very linear. So if you're going to be going to someplace exciting, just go there. I mean, so why would I possibly want to... It's like taking a horseless carriage. It just seems like it elongates the traveling part of the trip, which is pointless. You just get to wherever it is you're
going. It's for people who have already been to Disneyland.
All right.
So if you're not getting killed in a cruise ship fire, you could also choke on a bracelet. That's why Reebok is having a recall.
I'm sorry?
Reebok is having a recall.
What would the soundbite be called, Tim?
Toy 01.
Oh, thanks. All right. Okay.
Reebok voluntarily recalled a bracelet that had been linked to a child's lead poisoning death. The bracelet was a free giveaway came with some children's shoes.
I don't understand. A child... Did she say child lead?
No, there's lead in these bracelets.
Okay.
You can pick yours up at the Dollar Tree.
I mean,
toy number 2.
Yeah, okay, I'm blanking here.
There are a couple of different products that tested positive for accessible lead. Some are rings, bracelets, mood necklaces, glow-in-the-dark necklaces.
Mood necklaces.
I thought you said mood necklaces.
All right, so the...
there you go. That's right next to the child's bag of glass. Toy that they've been giving away. Excellent.
Meanwhile, a beef-producing company has filed a lawsuit against the Agriculture Department.
demanding the right to privately test its herd for man-cow disease. Oh, mad-cow disease.
Man-cow disease is... Ah, no, it's too easy. Yeah. I'm not even... It's too inside. It's too industry. I'm not even going to go for the man-cow disease joke. All right, is this a mad-cow 01?
Yes,
all
it
right,
is.
Okay.
Creekstone Farms doesn't believe any of its herd has mad-cow disease, but it says it wants to give its customers added assurance. But the Agriculture Department conducts random testing for mad cow disease in the United States and has blocked the company's bid to privately test. So Creekstone CEO John Stewart is suing.
The government controls the test kits. The private sector is not allowed to have the test kits. We can't complete the test. We can't satisfy our consumers.
The Agriculture Department says
sounds
the United
like
States already has a robust testing program for mad cow disease. Dick Iuliano, CNN Washington.
Anytime they say anything is robust, it means they're lying. That's what they always say whenever they're talking about the economy is robust and growing. And, you know, and meanwhile, you're selling your daughter downtown so you can try to pay the rent this month. I don't understand the mad cow. I am unclear about whether there's ever been mad cow in this country or not. Tim, newsman?
I think they found one, but they did make a big deal about it.
Clyde, hold on, I have to... Sorry. All right, there you go. Every time I adjust this microphone, it sounds like I'm locking somebody in the Tower of London. All right. Clyde has consistently for many years claimed that his grandmother died of mad cow disease. And so if I'm not making it up, don't I...
Is it in his bio?
No, and it's on his back. It's on the sales brochure. It's on the Ground Zero sales packet. Grandmother died of mad cow disease. And I'm not saying it's not true. All I'm saying is I don't know. Because in Britain, it was a thing in Britain where it killed a whole bunch of people, right? Or is that Canada? There was mad cow somewhere like 2 years ago.
It's China. People are always dying from things like that over there. Or Russia.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm unclear about whether there's mad cow. We're all going to die of, you know... We're all gonna
Those who eat meat will.
Something.
I have nothing to worry about. So I'll just sit here.
As you're stepping over our omnivorous bodies on the way to work.
It's not that you haven't been warned.
You and your flat plant grinding teeth will be coming to work every day. I'm rotting away in a gutter.
Makes no difference to me.
Good times. Here's Tim Riley.
Dabber Brittany Watch.
Here's your Brittany Watch for Thursday. God, I hate this song.
You've got to change it. You complain about it every time.
I know, I'm working on it. It's a lie. I'm not really working. Somebody suggests that we use that stupid girl song by Pink. That be our Britney Watch theme. So, I don't know. So somebody get cracking on that. I'm too lazy. Here's Tim.
I bet Clyde has that record around somewhere. property tycoon Donald Trump is worried about pop star Britney Spears after seeing her husband Kevin Federline spending her money on fast cars and designer clothes. The apprentice reality TV star who became a father for the fifth time to Baron William. That's the kid's name. Baron William on March 20th.
How is he spelling Baron?
B-A-R-R-O-N.
That's
like Barons.
That's why if you're Donald Trump, you can do that.
He admits he doesn't trust the unemployed dancer, who appears to be enjoying life to the full as Spears cares for baby Sean.
I'm unclear about how... I honestly don't know how I feel about Kevin Federline, because there's part of me that just loathes him, because look at him. Look at that guy. And, you know, clearly he's a man without any discernible talent or skills, except for hoodwinking trashy girls from the South. But on the other hand, it's like part of you wants to sort of embrace that Nick Lachey attitude of just like, go for it, baby. Just, you know, you find a slot machine that's paying off. You just crank that handle till it's empty. Whatever. I mean, who among us would not take that opportunity were it handed to us? So I guess you kind of wring that cloth till it's dry.
That's our Britney Watch.
All right, there's your Britney Watch. Britney.
Meanwhile, Mariah Carey is set to start her first TV commercial. The superstar will be the new face of Intel. She's going to promote the Intel Centrino Dual, a state-of-the-art computer chip.
Because when you think computer chips, you think Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
All right.
Meanwhile, Jessica Alba is sick and tired of playing sex kitten.
I'm sorry. Get used to it, honey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't think I can even say this on the air. The 23-year-old star also... No, I can't say that either.
Wait, let me see it. No, I got to know.
Let's see here. Second paragraph.
Slutty?
Yeah, can I say that?
Well, I just did. Slutty.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, give it back to me. I'll do it.
Slutty's not. Well, that's a moral judgment. That's a it's an objective moral term describing the character of one of you know.
Very well then. She said, "I'll leave the slutty girl to other people, and I'll play sweet moral girls who believe in love." Roles that are more interesting than playing a vixen. That's something I want to do next, a romantic comedy or something like that.
See, here's the problem, is that all of these roles require what we call acting. And Jessica Alba is unable to... She couldn't act her way out of a wet paper bag.
I mean, gosh, she's so pretty, but her britches are getting a little too big for her.
And I want to like her. I really do. Mm-hmm. I want her to be able to act because she's gorgeous and she's... I mean, she's some bizarre... Isn't she like she's Cuban and something or other? She's some bizarre combination of woman. She's like that Jamie Lynn Sigler chick from The Sopranos. She's like Cuban and Italian or Cuban and French or something. But she's, to use the catch-all term, she's very exotic looking, exotic is totally what guilty white people say, by the way, when they don't want to go, what are you? Which is what everybody thinks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can say that. I'm a grown man. You've done that where you meet some, like that Boba Fett guy. Not the actual Boba Fett, who was a clone of... But the Chris guy in our audience that was Boba Fett at the Bloodbath and Beyond party, where Aaron, a geek in the city, pulled me something. He's like, "What is that guy?" And I said, "No, it's Chris. He's Boba Fett." He's like, "I know, but you know what is he? What's on the ingredients list there?" And I said, "I don't know." And what did he say? He said he's like Filipino and Latvian or whatever. He's an Eskimo or something. I forget. But we've all met that guy where in the back of your head you're going, "I have no idea what the hell this guy's made of." And so it is with Jessica Alba, and she's exotic. That's the guilty white liberal media term for her. My point is, though, she's really hot, but she's never been good in anything that didn't require her just to play like a hoe. Because she was in Dark Angel, which was a decent show, but she wasn't any good in it. And then she was in Sim City, of course, where she played, wait for it, a stripper who wouldn't strip. And how unsatisfying was that when you went to see Sim City? She's on stage. You know what seeing Sin City was like? Seeing Jessica Alba in Sin City was like when you're watching Glengarry Glen Ross and they're showing it on ABC. And it's like the whole, you know, you've got leads. Mitch and Murray gave you these leads to close these
damn
leads. You know, and in your brain it just doesn't, like, it makes no sense, you know.
Or in the computer has the bikini tops on, like,
in Showgirls.
Scenes.
Or
yeah.
In Showgirls, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You can't close. Crap. You are. Crap. You know, and it just, and clearly it's being voiced over by Pauly Shore, like, on an hourly rate basis. That's what it's like going to see Sin City. There's Jessica Alba on stage in a fringed buckskin cowboy outfit.
Oh, okay.
Not becoming nude at any point. And you sit there and go, what am I paying $9 for? Is it just to see a dog eat somebody's stumps? Oh. So, I'm sorry. Did I step over the line?
But this is the lunch hour.
Not anymore. Okay. Are we breaking? Oh. We're breaking. Okay. You stay there. We'll be back. The Rick Emerson Show. My point is, can't act. Can't act equals got to be nude eventually, sister. We're all watching. Don't go anywhere. We got the Gary Baumgarten coming up and all that. You stay there. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All right, then. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. You can email me like it's Rick at...
Email me like...
It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on, Hick Watch, as well as CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop from Los Angeles. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Washington, D.C. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hi, I'm good, Rick. How are you?
I'm deaf, I think, from the W.G. Snuffy Walden West Wing theme that just blasted into my ears at 140 decibels, but that's
you
okay.
You guys are big about pumping up the volume up there.
Yes, it's...
Let's
just screw. We don't screw around. When we play a theme, we play the freaking theme. We go all the way. Nothing holds us back.
That's right, that's right.
All right, let's all be pumped up.
Tim's eyes are watering. It was so loud.
It doesn't help, of course, that like all radio people, we're like halfway to being functionally deaf anyway. And so everything, yes, so everything is turned up as loud as it can possibly go. Right. It's like every time you go into a radio station, they'll have a soundproof room, soundproof windows, three layers of double door soundproof walling. And you can still hear, like, Creedence Clearwater Revival, like, 500 yards away. So that's kind of how we operate everything here. We turn everything to 11 here, Lisa.
You know, better outside your head than inside your own head.
That is true. Let me write that down. That's like a Zen koan. Hold on, let me. All right. All right. Speaking of outside and inside one's head. So George Bush was speaking about, and I know that, these things are said to him, and then he sort of repeats them, and I know they make sense at some level. It's sort of this odd transmogrification that happens, where the ideas must look good on paper, but then they go into his head, and by the time they come out, I don't understand what he's talking about sometimes. And I'm not speaking about his grammar or syntax. I'm just talking about his ideas. He was talking about Iraq's need for a government, and saying that we're not going anywhere soon. We're going to continue to be there so we can do this. But on the other hand, it seemed like he was talking just recently about how we were going to be sort of scaling down, and we were going to be leaving, and we were going to be... Does anybody have any idea when we're leaving Iraq, or are they just sort of making that up?
No, I don't think anyone has any definite idea of when troops are leaving Iraq. And in fact, Secretary Rumsfeld pretty much said as much just in the last hour, saying that there's no way to know. And in fact, that it's up to commanders and conditions on the ground. You know, but officials, we've heard from officials earlier this year that they had wanted to get the number of American troops down to 100,000. That'd be a pretty big decline from the 133,000 that they're at now.
Right.
But it's really not clear that's going to happen, because they've had so many setbacks, especially in forming the Iraqi government. They're still hopeful that that's going to happen, but it really is taking much longer than they had expected.
It's interesting that this would actually be Rumsfeld. This was, what, at 11 o'clock that he spoke at the Pentagon? And because he has been, he's not been gone, but I mean, there was a time when Rumsfeld was speaking, like every 5 minutes he would be standing there doing his sort of routine in front of the press corps, and then he just sort of gradually sunk back into the background. And so now, are they phasing him back in? Is he going to be talking a lot more now?
You know, I don't personally expect him to be talking a lot more. Folks that I talk to don't seem to be expecting that, but we'll have to watch carefully. It seems like what we had today may have been in response to a lot of spotlight, not good spotlight, that's been thrown on Rumsfeld in the last week. A number of Democrats, including some moderate Democrats, have been point blank calling for his resignation. And we've heard these calls before. This has been a theme, but they really have stepped up in the last week, more and more people saying that the U.S. policy is wrong, that the architects and leaders of that policy, especially Rumsfeld, need to go. Bush himself had to answer that in one of his press conferences this week, said that he has confidence in Rumsfeld still. He's doing a fine job. Rumsfeld himself then today stepping up and taking that criticism head on, maybe deflecting the blow, saying that he can't comment on it, but that he is still hard at work, that the president told him not to comment on politics, and that those calls are politics. So I think today you saw Rumsfeld really having to step up, because his name has been bantered around a lot by critics of the administration. What we've seen more as a theme in the last couple of weeks is the president getting out in front, the president taking unscripted questions, the president trying to show that he really knows his stuff on Iraq. I think the White House is really pushing the president as the main face of their administration.
As long as no questions don't come from Helen Thomas. Yeah, that's she's achieved leper status, I think, there in the White House press briefing room. The thing about Rumsfeld is that I get the sense from him, and I could be wrong about this. I don't think I am, though. I get the sense from him that not only is he a very, very, very intelligent, but I get the sense that he's a stunning political infighter. And I do get this sort of vibe off of him, and we always have, that in some way Rumsfeld knows that he is probably the smartest guy in the room about 90% of the time, and just resents that he even has to sit and explain himself or talk to people, because he knows in his soul that he's probably smarter than 99% of the people who are posing questions to him at any moment.
Yeah, he definitely likes to portray that. In fact, at one point today, he responded to a reporter's question saying, "That's a good question," unlike every other question we've had today.
See, that's
so
gold.
He feels very confident in, in a good-natured way, usually, putting down the press corps. He feels pretty confident in that area, for sure.
I do think there's a reality TV show in his future once he exits. That's just a personal theory, though. You know, I'm not going to wager any money on it yet. All right, Lisa Goddard in D.C., thank you so much.
Hey, anytime.
All right, Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. There you go. It's 503-7... Okay, she's gone now. See, do you think I'm impressing her?
Yeah, I don't think you're scaring her off yet.
Really? But, I mean, do you think Lisa Goddard answers those calls and she tells her covert, that Rick Emerson?
Well, she did say anytime.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like an anytime or is that like an anytime?
No, I think that she's a little curious about you.
She's the Charlie Rose of the Gen X set.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. I'm Portland's answer to Howard Stern. Apparently.
On the Johnson.
I'm on the Johnson. Take that out of context. Let me see you, huh? On the Johnson. Doesn't On the Johnson sound like some sort of a... On the Johnson sounds like some sort of late-night cable access thing or some sort of pay-per-view thing on the Spice Channel. Moving on.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Here's the city desk. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, senior Muslim cleric said that an Afghan man on trial for converting from Islam to Christianity should be killed regardless of whether a court decides to free him.
I love that. There's a sort of solidity there that I like. That is sort of regardless of the verdict, he should be killed. Mm-hmm. We need to start instituting that here every now and again.
Abdul Rahman is a 41-year-old former medical aid worker. He faces the death penalty for becoming a Christian under Afghan's Islamic laws. Didn't we free Afghan from the? Well, I guess that was a year ago.
There's going to be Walmarts there any day now.
He is not mad. The government is playing games. The people will not be fools, said Abdul Rauf, a cleric at a nearby mosque. He is humiliating for Islam. Cut off his head.
Okay, there you go. Good. More reasons just to stay agnostic. You know what I mean? It's like if you're not playing the game.
No, Islam is a loving religion, as we've been told over and over again.
It's a religion of peace.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying to just stay agnostic. That's if you're not playing the game, you're not going to be on the wrong team, at least. That's kind of my motto. So, you know, I'm just going to stay out of this until the dust clears, and then I'll just join whatever religion ends up running everything. Because right now, I don't want to place any bets. Because the Christians have got sort of momentum on their side in the crazy game. The Christians have been, you know, they've been crazy for a long time. They've been completely irrational and without any subtlety and willing to kill folks. But you know what? But it's like, but Islam is coming on strong. Islam's making a comeback in the crazy race. So and Christians aren't willing to blow themselves up. I'd like to urge more Christians right now to blow themselves up. Because really, if you're trying to make a name, you're trying to get publicity, get a little buzz.
Oh, so they can go to a better place.
Also that, yes. I'm just saying, if you're trying to spread, you know, grassroots, if you're trying to do viral marketing, if you're trying to gain what we in the media call buzz about your religion, about your faith, really the way you got to do this is through bold, dramatic, television-ready gestures. You know, they burned down all that crap in Denmark, right, because of the cartoon?
Yeah.
All over the cut off a guy's head, all over the television. Dude, what do Christians do? Christians just go to Applebee's and decide not to, you know, decide to shop at Walmart and not see Marilyn Manson.
There's that 100-year-old guy who sits all day in front of the Planned Parenthood clinic in Northwest in a lawn chair in the rain.
Is that true?
Yeah, he's there every day.
All right, good times. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A New York senator is accused of harassing a staffer in her Albany office, according to the Albany Times Union. Queens Democrat Ada Smith allegedly threw coffee in the staffer's face and then pulled her hair.
Excellent.
New York State Police have confirmed there is an ongoing investigation. It wouldn't be the first time Smith faced allegations by a staffer. Last year, she was cleared of an accusation by a former chief of staff who said he was terminated because he was a homosexual.
Homosexual.
In 1996, she allegedly threatened one employee with a knife.
What other profession, unless you're Tyra Banks, can you have, can you be, I mean, well, whatever. Never mind, just go ahead. It's fine.
A laptop belonging to Fidelity Investments that held the names, addresses, birth dates, and social security numbers and other information of 196,000 retirement account customers was stolen last week. Apparently somebody took it home again. We're hearing a lot of people do this. You're not supposed to take these things home, yet people continue to do so. The company has notified the top three credit reporting agencies that this information has been stolen. They haven't said what they're going to do with the customers' names.
All right.
Here's a story from Florida.
Oh, wait. You got to give me more warning on this.
Nope.
Sorry. No, it's fine. Hold on.
We've just got to put it into this system.
I've got to give it to Sarah and put it on a hotkey because it's like I don't have it. Like, I have it here, but it takes a second to access it. Okay. I'm sorry. This is a
story from Florida.
It's a story from Florida. Thank you. All right.
A clerk at a Burger King was arrested after police said a disagreement with a customer turned into a brawl. Kevin and Dana Gillis were at the drive-thru with their three-year-old daughter. Gillis said that the clerk, 18-year-old Michael Perez, was rude and snatched the money from her husband's hand. When Gillis tried to hand Perez some extra change in exchange for bills, Perez said he didn't want the change, and the two men exchanged angry words. At that point, the Gillis who said Perez climbed through the drive-thru window and punched Gillis in the nose.
Oh, that's good choice.
Gillis said when she climbed out of the truck, Perez started after her and was tackled by her husband. And then Burger King employees called police. Perez is charged with burglary and battery.
Every time, does Burger King ever, oh look, I'm sure they're a fine place.
Yeah, if you want cardiac arrest.
Okay. All the only point I was going to make is, first of all, I know that their fries taste like Formica. That's the first point I was going to make, which is too bad because they used to have good fries. Burger King had really good fries. We all know, and I'm not going to get sidetracked by this, but we all know that the best fries in the fast food world are from McDonald's. Everyone knows. And look, I am not a big consumer of fast food. I myself, speaking for myself, I opt not to consume food from McDonald's. But they do have fantastic fries. I will say that. But the problem with every time I've
gone, Burger King can't even come up with a decent mascot.
They've just got the creepy. But Burger King is doing all that weird viral online advertising. They had the chicken, right? The leather, the Sato chicken.
That was a long time ago.
It was where the
yeah.
No, but they got that whole thing with the. They got the king with the weird freaky plastic head.
Oh yeah, and they have that ad campaign where he's dating Brooke Burns, and they keep getting seen like hanging out together at places.
All I see all over the internet, it's like a rash all over what George Bush would refer to as the internets, where it's just endless pictures of the Burger King, and then the caption is, "Where is your God now?" And I don't know why. It's just everywhere. Have you seen these?
Uh-uh.
It's everywhere. It's big. The photos all over the net of that plastic-heady Burger King. I mean, he's freaky looking, by the way. That's what you see when you take too much acid and then you go to sleep listening to a Slayer record and then you've had a lot of Mexican food. Well, you wake up and there's the gigantic plasticine head of the Burger King leering over your bed and he's sawing you in half to take your kidneys. That's what you see. And then he says, you know, where is your God now? But that image is all over the internet. But every time I've gone to a Burger King, I've been menaced. I don't know if it's still there, but there was that one. Where was it? On Burnside and 3rd, right
yeah,
out of
that's
Roseland.
Closed down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and good for it because the last time I went there, it's like I got a knife in my eye almost. I was at the Roseland and I was going to see some show at the Roseland, and it's like the Roseland. You think even like in Portland, they would know they have to have coffee everywhere. You know, like, this, it's not just for
you
me.
You think so.
This is not just about Rick now. This is the love for everyone. Mm-hmm. Portland's a coffee-drinking city. And so I continue to be amazed every time I go somewhere in Portland and there is no coffee. Like, I'll go to a, you know, you're at a bar, you're at whatever, and you go, hey, do you have coffee? And they go, no. And in some cities that, you know, you expect that. But here, I expect there to be coffee anywhere. Anyway. But I have no choice. I'm falling asleep, but I don't want to, you know, I want to be peppy and awake for the show. So I got no choice but to like walk and try to find coffee at like 11 o'clock at night. So I'm there so I'm at the Burger King on Burnside and 3rd at 11 o'clock trying to buy coffee. And I'm, you know, and we're in line and just standing in line, this guy in front of me, a huge swarthy gentleman, and he's buying, you know, whatever it is he's buying. And I'm minding my own business as all these stories begin. There I am minding my own business. And apparently in his world, I was standing like just a shade too close to him. And he turned, and he gave me like the finger in the chest, you know, the pointy bump, 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 the pointy finger in the chest. And he asked me, first of all, he accused me of having sexual relations with my mother by means of his address to me. And then he inquired in a loud and belligerent voice about the proximity of my body to his, and whether I was expecting him to perform an act of gratification upon me. And
wow.
If that was the reason for my nearness to his body.
Whilst, free?
Whilst, with my, whatever I had left over after the coffee, uh-huh. I guess. And then I left. So anyway, so my point is let's move on.
Yeah.
Here's Tim Ryan.
Are we done with the Burger King story?
Please, let's be done.
All right.
Time now for not a single, but a double, and possibly a triple Hick Watch.
Here's your Hick Watch for Thursday.
Copenhagen makes me feel skid. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering
all around the house.
Copenhagen makes me feel secure.
Our first story comes to us from Pictures, the Lone Star thing, where they begun sending undercover agents into bars to arrest drinkers for being drunk.
Where? In Texas?
Texas. Mm-hmm. Of all places. Yeah. Like, they're not going to find any.
Well, Texas, where up until recently, and it was 10, 15 years ago, for the longest time in Texas, it was legal to drink and drive. You couldn't be drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You could not be over .01 or whatever it was at the time. But for the longest time in Texas, it was actually legal to be drinking in your car as long as you were not impaired. So now they're
and they started the feminization of drivers in Texas.
Yes, now they're no longer manly. We have no more reason to be proud of them.
Well, being in a bar does not exempt one from the state laws against public drunkenness, say the cops. The goal was to detain drunks before they leave a bar and do something dangerous like drive a car.
Whatever.
We feel the only way we're going to get the drunk driving problem off the street is to go hunting people before they do it.
Yeah, but it's like that. Don't they have that law here where they're like, where technically they have to say, we will not serve a visibly intoxicated person?
I suppose.
Isn't that, Jen Lane would know. But I mean, I think that's the thing with bartenders here. Is that bartenders, they're not supposed to serve you if you're visible, which of course, you know, it's like in Portland, one out of every three people are just walking around drunk. That's the only way anybody gets through the rainy season here. So, you know, whatever.
There are a lot of dangerous and stupid people here in Texas, and many are intoxicated.
what I wouldn't give for a soundbite of that.
The 19-year-old waitress. A 19-year-old waitress has accused Hank Williams Jr., which is the father of Hank Williams III.
Yeah, he's the second.
Of
Hank Williams II.
Okay. This is the guy that's never done anything with his career.
No. You're thinking of Hank. Well, I don't know who you're thinking of now.
Well, Hank Williams.
Thinking of the Burger King guy again?
Maybe. Okay. Anyway, Hank Jr.
Where is your God now?
Apparently he's
never,
been
on.
Harassing a woman in a hotel bar.
The Burger King guy? Yeah. Oh, Hank Williams.
Holly Hornbeek.
Holly Hornbeek.
Yeah, Holly Hornbeek.
Holly Hornbeek.
Is being harassed. Holly Hornbeek.
Becky Buckspray.
Mm-hmm. Move the copper clappers. Well, she alleged that around midnight Saturday, the country superstar swore at her, tried to kiss her, and lifted her. Oh, and lifted her in a chokehold.
Hank Williams Jr., that seems unlikely.
Williams had been staying at the Peabody Hotel while his daughters are being treated in a Memphis hospital for injuries that suffered in a car crash.
Holly Hornbeek.
I am separate of these allegations, said Hank's publicist in a statement. Hank Jr. has to defend himself for some reason. On Friday, Williams held a press conference to dispel rumors started by an anonymous caller to a radio show that he had asked for only white personnel to attend to his daughters. I mean, out of the three of these, one of these has to be correct.
Seriously?
I mean, out of these allegations, at least one of these has to be true. So take your pick.
Holly Hornbeek sounds like a reliable witness.
Yeah, I think so.
God damn, imagine going through life with the name of Holly Hornbeek. You pretty much have to work on a children's TV show at that point. What else? There's nothing else you can do with your life. You can't be a stripper.
She's singing at the El Paso County Fair. Hank Williams Jr. had a string of number one hits, including Family Tradition and All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Out Tonight. That is not a string, that is two.
No, he did really have...
He sung the theme for ABC's Monday Night Football in 1989.
No, he did have, to be fair, he did have a vastly successful career for most of the 80s. He's actually, I think, the only country artist to win the CMA Entertainer of the Year award three times in a row. I think he's the only. I don't even think Garth Brooks did that. But the problem with Hank is that... Like, Hank Jr. went through the first, 20 years of his career just doing nothing of any value to anybody because the record company just kept trying to make him a clone of his dad, of Hank Sr.
He was like George Bush.
Yes. And so he finally, and then this whole thing where he almost died because he fell off a mountain and blah, 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 and he recreated himself. But the problem is now we're plagued by Hank 3, who's out there where it's like you can just hear, the marketing gears, and of course Hank 3's first release, the first album they put out, they made that creepy thing that Hank Jr. did in the 80s where he did the Tear in My Beer and it was the electronic duet.
Yeah.
Remember there was that time, there was like a 3-year period in American music, and I don't think they do this anymore, where they were having live people sing with corpses. You remember that? And it was
Oh, that was after the Michael Jackson morphing thing.
And Natalie Cole did it.
Unforgettable, yeah.
Unforgettable. And then there was like the dad, you know, and he's totally like the, you know, miking the corpse.
It was beautiful because she was singing with her dead father.
Yeah, and it's like, I just found it creepy. And so they did that, and then Hank Williams Jr. Sang with Hank Williams Sr., and they did the Tear My Beer electronic duet. And then they've done it now with Ray Charles. Ray Charles, his new record is out now where it's like he died. But it's like that, like death doesn't stop the recording industry from kicking your corpse for a few more dollars. And so they've got this thing out with Hank, with Ray Charles. But, so Hank III, who by all accounts is just a phenomenally stupid and untalented, man, his first record is, wait for it, him singing with his dad, and then both of them singing with the grandfather. So it's Hank Sr., Hank Jr., and Hank III all singing together on songs that you don't ever want to hear again anyway. And, you know.
At least it isn't with that King Cole.
No.
That probably wouldn't play well.
No, and I carry kind of a grudge about that anyway, because we were filming last summer after Bigger Than Jesus wrapped, we were filming the supplementary features, and we were filming this documentary, this I Was a Teenage Dirtbag. And we were filming at bars. We were going to bars and clubs all around Portland, and we would set up, and we'd take about 2 hours, and we would interview dudes about their rock and roll stories. And everybody was totally cool with it, with us using the green room, using whatever, except for Hank III. And so we showed up, we got all this camera equipment, we got the crew, we got all of these guests that are showing up, everybody, we scheduled the interview. I mean, till you've done movies, I mean, it's a big operation, even for a small film. You get all of this crap. So we get there, and the guy at the at Dante's, and again, they were very nice, not their fault. The guy at Dante's like, I'm sorry, I can't let you film here tonight. And it's like 140 degrees outside, and we're lugging all this camera crap around all day. The guy's like, I'm sorry, Hank III's here, and he needs the whole basement. And so because of Hank III, I was then obliged to start literally running. And when I say running, I mean literally, like me, on the street, like up and down the street, talking to people at different clubs, trying to find, like, a backup place to do the filming at. So, screw the guy. And his name's not even Hank. His name is Shelton. So, you know, and I realize that calling yourself Shelton makes you look like less of a badass. But, and he ripped off the Black Flag logo. So screw that guy.
All right, let's do that. Here's our third one. Walmart is recalling about 643,238 mainstays, love seat, and porch rocking chairs because of poor construction and over curvature of the chair's runners can cause instability, imbalance, fracturing of the wood, and tipping over during
sure.
use.
Yeah, it's the construction of the chair that makes Walmart customers fall over.
There have been 40 reports of injuries, including a cut in the leg requiring 16 stitches, uh-huh. a shoulder joint tear, and one incident in which a pregnant woman began having contractions when rocking in the chair and falling over backwards.
Uh-huh. So let me understand this. So it is, they're claiming it's the chair's construction that's causing it to buckle and bend under the weight of a Walmart customer.
Right. And these are porch rockers, which rock.
Whenever you say.
Customers should stop using these rocking chairs immediately and return them to Walmart.
Keep their hands off the bear claws while they're at it, too. Have you ever witnessed the fat guy sitting in the chair and the chair giving out?
I'm trying to remember if I have.
It wasn't a listener party. I think it was either Party Gras. It was one of the things we did at the hot seat. It was either Party Gras. What was the other thing we did? Party Gras and was it Cinco de Drinko?
Cinco de Drinko, yeah.
So, and I won't say who it was, but there was someone we know. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, out there on the patio, and it's like they have this sort of white molded plastic chairs, you know, and I'm not a...
Which aren't that stable to begin with.
I'm not a very big guy, and they bend and buckle just a little bit when I sit down in them. So we have a friend of ours who is he's a husky fellow.
Slightly rotund.
And he sits down, and man, just... You know, and right there, and it just collapses underneath him like it was made out of balsa.
And you try not to notice.
And it's like, how can you? How can
you want to help, but you don't want to draw attention to the situation.
And what are you supposed to do? Like, I didn't even see it. I'm sorry. Was there a noise? I got to use the bathroom. And it's just the worst, like the worst moment, you know, because you want the floor to open up and either swallow him or you, because you don't want to have to acknowledge that a fat man sat in a chair and the legs just all went from underneath it. All right, there's that. That's your Hick Watch for. With Thursday on the air.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slopping all around the house. That Copenhagen makes me feel so good. How about you?
All right.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see what else is coming up. Oh, we got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to be here. Jen Lane. We'll be playing this bland music. Sarah's doing some... Are you doing undergarment adjustment?
I discussed my problem with you.
Would you like to share your problem with everybody?
No.
See, because here's why you have to now. Because I've talked about undergarment adjustment and your problem. And so... You better offer your own explanation, or everybody's going to put together their own, like, in the next 10 seconds.
No, this was a private thing.
You're not making it any better. You're digging yourself in deeper.
No, I'm wearing an older bra, and it's kind of small, and it's really uncomfortable.
Now, have you gotten larger?
No. It's just older.
From when
you
were 12?
Yeah, obviously I have gotten larger from my guy yesterday.
I wasn't going to say anything. So, yeah. Now would you...
Rick, we don't need to talk about
I'm
this.
Just saying...
There's somebody online wanting to talk about Burger King.
Okay, but we'll get to that in a second. But I just have to note, though, that Sarah's doing this constant shifting and adjusting of her bra, which is fine. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
It's laundry day. I'm cleaning my other ones.
You have a laundry marker bra, too?
Yeah.
Do all girls have... Because you have laundry marker shirts, right? You know,
laundry marker?
Well, you know, like when that shirt comes up, you know it's time to do laundry.
And
like
socks and underwear.
Yeah, like I have, you know, I'm trying to think of what it is. I have like whatever, like my old, like my Kelly's, you know, Olympian shirt or whatever. That's just, you know, it's ratty. And when it comes up, I'm like, oh, there's the flag. So do you have a bra for that too? Like, you know, it's time to wash your bras?
Yeah, this is it. Well, I didn't realize that I was washing them both at the, the two that I like to wear a lot at the same time.
Now.
Why are we talking about, I don't know.
Were they
left
in the machine?
Because I'm trying to get.
They're hanging.
Because I'm trying to get to the fact that you're wearing a padded bra. And I'm trying to understand exactly why you own a padded bra and why
I can tell you exactly why I have this bra, because it was from...
not really necessary.
No, it was from when I was Britney Spears for the Halloween thing, and the wedding dress I was wearing was a little bit big.
Okay, I see. So you had to...
So I'm wearing that one. This was the only one I could find. I was kind of running late today.
Okay.
So I'm very uncomfortable.
And
now I'm even more uncomfortable, so thank you.
now you're uncomfortably, like, figuratively and literally as well. Because I've gotten several emails from people who want to know if that's you... On the on RickEmerson.com. Have you gone to RickEmerson.com today?
No.
Any day when I ask that question, is the answer going to be yes? Do you ever actually go to my site?
Sure, I do.
Okay, whatever. Let's take Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. Was the guy that broke the chair, was that Matt?
No, it was not Matt. It was not Matt Peterson.
I met Matt, and I felt like the monkey to his circus grinder. I'm a big dude, but Matt's a bigger dude.
Well, he is a mountain of talent, so
hey,
yes.
No, I had a... Quick, I was sitting on Burnside at that Burger King, just sitting at the light.
Uh-huh.
And this guy actually was shoved out of Burger King by the employees. He was just, could barely stand up, made it about 10 steps to the sidewalk, grabbed some guy by the shoulder, I think basically to steady himself. Guy turns around and just clocks him, knocks his ass out right there on the sidewalk.
It is a hotbed of violence, or at least it was.
I never went in there, and I I'm packing heat half the time.
No, it did have its own little slice of life's rich pageant happening inside. So it was never dull. Put it that way.
Well, hey, I'm glad you're back. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. You spread the word. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's take this break. We'll come back. Don't glare at me. It's a compliment. They thought it was. I mean, it's a.
Yeah, that's not me on your website. Did you make that clear?
I'm just saying it's... I wasn't going to say anything one way or the other. I didn't know how you'd feel about it. Okay. I'll tell you what, we're going to come back here. We'll hit the city desk again. We'll talk to Jim Roop later on. We'll roll through this bland music that was collected by the folks on MySpace for me. We'll talk about how you can get out of a ticket through fandom of the Rick Emerson Show. Jen Lane will be here. And the top five Aerosmith songs you've never heard, because KGON is just intent on playing Walk This Way over and over again until you die of boredom. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. I'm sorry.